We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
With everyone fighting for attention, how can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy, with Constant Contact. Constant Contact's award-winning marketplace platform has helped millions of small businesses stand out, stay top of mind, and see big results fast. It's okay if you don't know much about marketing. Constant Contact's writing assistant tools and automation features help you craft messaging and say the right things at the right time. I use this to help write and send my email newsletters, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to PrizePicks.com and use code PACKADAY for a $100 deposit match.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Welcome back, Packers fans, to the Pack-A-Day Podcast. Another edition of the Thursday edition of the Pack-A-Day Podcast is upon us. Somehow, we are inching up on being halfway through 2024. It's insane to me. Christmas, I feel like, was just last week. Anywho, I am half of your Thursday crew, Jason Perrone. I'm on X/Twitter at Jason Perrone. With me, as always, of Packer Report is Mark Eckel. Mark, I have to imagine, I know we talk about this almost every week, but I have to imagine that the beach is getting into full swing if it's not already there.
It's getting there. Not quite, but yeah, no, the weather's there. Yeah, the perfect weather, but we're not crazy crowded yet. Which I like that when we're not, I don't like it when it gets crazy crowded, but yeah, after Memorial Day, it'll get crazy crowded. After school, when school's out and then all, you know, the families start coming down and the kids are all over the place. And that's when I want to go out. That's when I like to go somewhere else.
Yeah. Out here in Phoenix, we're starting to like clear out now cause it's getting hot. So all the snowbirds are starting to head, but if they haven't already, I don't see any Canadian plates on the road anymore. And then all the folks that are in the Midwest and East Coast are starting to make their way back east for what I would imagine is going to be a beautiful summer, and everyone's going to invade their space over there to get away from here when everything is super, super hot. But
yeah,
last week,
perfect time of year here. I tell people May is my favorite month now because
before it gets too hot,
the snowbirds are gone. They usually leave May 1st because that's when the rates start to go up a little bit. So they all go home, and the families aren't here yet because the kids are still in school. Mm-hmm. So this is my favorite. May and October are my favorite.
Sure. Sure. My favorite month, I'm trying to think. My favorite month is, let's be honest, it's September. It's when football starts again. So, last week, you and I broke down the scouts tape on the offensive players that the Packers picked. This week, we're doing the defense, and we've got a good number of players to get through. So, once again, these are your hard-earned scouting takes, and these have been good. And I also would say, too, that they've been pretty accurate. If we, you know, I know we haven't actually gone back through and you and I have been doing this show together for, I think, the last probably 5 years together. And just to see how many of them, you know, had takes and where they landed. But I think they've got a good ear to the ground. So if we want to just go in order on the defensive side of who the Packers took, obviously, we know their first defensive player they took was second rounder Edgerrin Cooper, the linebacker out of Texas A&M. Many thought that he was the best linebacker in this draft and the Packers. And then we had some rookie minicamp that took place at the end of last week. And we got a chance to see him in drills, obviously not in live action, but just in the drills and all that other kind of stuff too. And you get a chance to finally see how they look in the green and yellow and all these things start to kind of come together. So what did, and if you want to give your take on the pick, I was obviously very happy with it. It was, he's a name that we knew. There were actually some talk that the Packers might want Cooper in the first round because he's a really good player. And if he was going to get drafted higher, but they end up staying patient and they get Jordan Morgan, the tackle, and they still ended up with Edgerrin Cooper. So what was your take on the pick and what are the scouts saying?
All right. My take, he was my favorite player in the draft. So I was ecstatic. Packers rarely take the guy I really, 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 really want. And they did. I liked Morgan too. Like, I don't know if I told this story last week or not. If I did, I'm sorry, I'm telling it again. But a friend of mine texted me after the Cooper pick. There's a friend of mine who's a Packer fan. I mean, he had that. And he sends me a text and says, "No, I guess you can go to bed now."
Yeah.
And I text him back and I said, "Huh?" I said, I'm still working. And B, because I was working that night for Packer Report, helping out the guys with the pick stuff. And I said, "And what are you talking about?" And he's like, you told me a couple weeks ago, if the Packers get Jordan Morgan and Edgerrin Cooper, you don't care what they do after that. They could take punters and long snappers and you'd be happy." I said, "I did say that, didn't I?"
Yeah.
Like, yes,
yeah.
You did.
Yeah.
So I this guy, I said before the draft, now people are starting to pick up on it, but and I'm going to bet it as soon as I can. I think he could win Defensive Rookie of the Year. I think he could be the Packers' first Defensive Rookie of the Year since 1972 when Willie Buchanan won it. So that's going way back. That's back before even, you know, I was a little kid then. Most of our listeners weren't born yet.
Yeah, no, that was some time ago. I mean, you know, finally we predate me. I feel like that's hard to do too. I mean, we talked last week. I started watching in 89, but yeah, imagine this, and there's a lot to get put together, but the excitement of this whole thing is that obviously the change in the scheme to the base, you know, and you've said it before too. It's not, I don't think, going to be a traditional 4-3 because of the nickel. So it'll be a 4-2, 4-2-5, wow. Right? And, but if Quay Walker can get unlocked, I'll say that, by Jeff Hafley, and they can do more with him in this defense, and you add Edge Cooper next to him, who's going to play right away, and even McDuffie, who's your third guy, and we'll talk about the, you know, we have another linebacker to talk about in a minute. This could end up being, I mean, imagine if Edgerrin Cooper, all of a sudden, by the end of his first year, is the alpha Packers linebacker, and they got this dude in the second round of the draft. This would be another case of Goody and company staying patient and getting incredible value if it works out that way.
Well, here's the scout's take on Edgerrin Cooper, which is I'm not going to lie to you. One of the reasons I loved him is because the guys that I trust really loved him too. So and that made me go back and watch him. Well, I did watch him against Alabama, and I was like, wow, this guy's tremendous. I mean, against Alabama, who's one of the best teams in the country, probably. And you could argue second best to Michigan. They took him to overtime, right? He had 11 tackles, 3 sacks, and forced a fumble against one of the best teams in the country.
That's
enough for me. But anyway, so the quote, again, if you didn't listen last week, the first quote will be just on Cooper, on him. A lot of these quotes I got prior to the draft. And then the next quote will be on his fit with Green Bay. So the first quote is love, love, love. He's all over the field. He can blitz, he can cover, he can chase, he can do whatever you want him to do. He was one of my top 5 players in the draft, and they got him at 40-something, right? So that's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the fit with Green Bay, just as you said, you put him and Quay Walker together, and that's a hell of a set of athletic linebackers.
Yeah. As I was saying there too, exactly. You unlock those two guys together, and all of a sudden this defense, it changes. Now, the bugaboo for the Packers on the defense has been the middle of the field. But I feel like the NFL in general, defenses are giving up some of that middle of the field. Offenses are just crisscrossing all over the place and bubble screens and short stuff. And so the middle of the field is a problem for everybody. It's not a Packers-specific issue. But you're starting to really solve a lot of these issues here. And it's all about matchups, matchups, matchups. And when you have the versatility, you have a Quay Walker and an Edge Cooper, and you got your you know, your 5 defensive backs out there, obviously, they feel like, you got Jair, of course, right? They obviously feel like Eric Stokes is on a good trajectory to come back and play. Now, we don't know how he's going to bounce back, but if he plays more like rookie Stokes than second-year Stokes, then that's a gain. And then Keyshawn Nixon is, you know, he's not the, you know, he's not confusing anybody for Deion Sanders, but he's a heady player. He's smart. You know, the Packers really could create some problems for opposing offenses when they're trying to figure out what's going on. And you've got this developing defensive line, defensive front. And so you can't just necessarily try to pound it 20, 25 times anymore. Or at least I hope not. And Packers have had their troubles stopping the run too. But this is a huge, huge, like, it solves a lot. This is a big, big, in theory, a big problem solver here. When you add this kind of athleticism to the middle of your defense, which is, again, an area where you need to be really good if you want to be an elite team in the league.
Oh, absolutely. And that leads to the next guy, too.
Yeah, so then also in the second round, the Packers stay patient. They finally get their, they finally draft a safety. We knew they were going to add some safeties this year. They brought in Xavier McKinney in free agency. But you knew this was going to be, I think you and I agreed on this, if I'm not mistaken, that this is probably going to be that position where Goody, you know, signs a guy and adds a couple in the draft. And sure enough, he did. He actually ended up adding three total safeties. The first one is Javon Bullard out of Georgia. Here's another Georgia Bulldog, Mark, out of in Bullard. And the scouts had a great take here. And this is good because he was, I don't think he was the first safety taken, right? I mean, I guess you would say
Tyler Newbin from Minnesota went to the Giants, I think.
And then depending on how you see Cooper DeJean, I don't know if you'd call him a safety or a corner.
Yeah, I don't know if he's a corner. I kind of think the Eagles are going to play him at safety, but I don't know. I mean, and they have Darius Slay, and they took Mitchell in the first round. So Cooper's not going to start outside. He's either going to be in the slot or safety.
Right.
So we'll see how that goes.
And again, he didn't go in the first round, everybody. So again, when the mock drafts, I'm saying this into the air, and it's going to go in one ear and out the other. But when the mock drafts start for 2025, people like don't buy into the top four names that everybody mocks to Green Bay. It doesn't always work out that way. So Georgia Bulldog, Javon Bullard, got some really, really glowing reviews here from your scouts. What are they saying? And then what was your take on the pick?
All right. Well, my take was they needed a safety. I thought they were all, depending on who you liked. They were the kid from Miami who I thought had a good season, but he didn't work out very well. So that kind of, I think, that knocked him off the Packers board because his RAS wasn't very high. Newbin's wasn't either, who went to Minnesota, from Minnesota, who went to the Giants. There was the kid from Southern Cal, Bullock, who people were confusing Bullock and Bullard. And then there was another one the kid from Utah that everybody fell in love with late. But anyway, I liked it. I mean, I trusted the Packers here to take the guy that they felt was best for them. And that's kind of what the scouts said to me. To quote his first, the original quote is, he isn't my favorite. I like some others better, but he's very versatile. So there's that. And then on his fit with Green Bay, he says, from what I see and hear, he's what they wanted because he can play back, in the box, or in the slot. He'll fit well with X, Xavier McKinney. And he says, Packers really like those Georgia guys. And that gives them, four of their starters on defense to be from Georgia.
Yeah.
That's more than a third of their defense.
Yeah, that's not bad at all. No, that's good. And again, played against some really good competition. They were, coming off of being a national championship, all that stuff, pedigree. You know, he was also very excited. He was the video where when he found out that he was being drafted by the Green Bay, he said, I'm a expletive Packer. And he was really excited. And everybody in the room with him erupted in cheering, and they were really happy for him. So he's obviously excited to come to Green Bay, maybe not so much about playing in December and January. He's going to have to, buy some winter gear after playing in Georgia for a couple of years. But this is a great pick here. And this is also one of those things where I keep saying I trust what the scouting and the personnel folks did. Now, listen, given the fact that Green Bay did take quite a few guys on the West Coast, Sam Seal must just they must really love him. I mean, they have taken a lot of early picks on the West Coast, but they go back east here. And obviously SEC, great program. You bring in Bullard. And I guess it's going to be really interesting for me to see which combination. We know McKinney's going to start. So then you would assume, because he's the highest draftee, that they want Bullard to grab a hold of that second safety spot. And if he's not ready to play right away, you've got Anthony Johnson Jr. I don't know how they feel about Johnson as far as that whole thing goes and whether McKinney and Johnson are a good fit together or if that's not their plan at all. But they've got a couple other guys that they can work in, and we'll talk about them in a minute because they tripled up on safety. But this is a good one here from a great program, and I liked the pick. But for me, because I don't watch a ton of stuff and do a lot of research into them, because I'm like, I would rather find out who the Packers are going to pick and just watch. This year it was 11 different sets of video and the guys that I actually have to worry about rather than have to watch 50 videos and then, 40 of them don't end up becoming Packers. But I like what I see. You know, I like, I always look for, it's the eye test for me. You know, are they fast? Are they quick? Do they close on the ball? Do they have ball skills? Like, when the play is there to be made, do they make the play, or are they just a few inches? I felt like Darnell Savage was the just a half second late, just an inch short, right? He always just seemed to miss just barely. And then, of course, he had the great play against Dallas, which was like, okay, great. We're going to send this guy off. He's not coming back. But he finally makes the play we've all been waiting for the past 4 years. But I digress. I think they got a good one here in Bullard.
Yeah, I do too. I'm glad you brought up Savage. I think Bullard is going to give the Packers what they thought Savage was going to give.
Mm-hmm.
And that he can, because Savage was versatile. I still think Savage's best position is slot corner, and I think Jacksonville might do that with him from what I'm being from what I'm hearing from, you know, writers around the league and stuff. Because Bullard could do it. He can. Again, this is a nice little chess piece to have, depending on the opponent and their schemes. You could line him up. He can cover the tight end. He can cover the slot receiver, or you can put him in the box. You can put him deep and put Xavier up. You can do a lot of different things with him. He can hit you. That's the thing, Bullard. He's the guy that knocked Marvin Harrison out of the championship game. You could argue that that's why Georgia won the national title. That if Marvin Harrison stays healthy, mm-hmm. Ohio State might win that game, right?
Yeah.
So. You know, Bullard's a good pick. I'm not as excited about him as I was Edgar Cooper, because that was my favorite player. But no, I like the Bullard pick a lot.
Yeah. So we'll see how that whole thing shakes out and what kind of reps he gets, where they end up lining him up. So then after the Bullard pick in the third round, with their second, the first third round pick was the Marshawn Lloyd, the running back out of Southern Cal. But the Packers go back defense. They grab another linebacker. It's Tyron Hopper out of Missouri. And this is an interesting, now here we are in the third round. The Packers have done some interesting things with their third round picks before, where they've taken some swings where it's like, hey, in this third round, you can still find somebody that you hope can get on the field for you. I don't remember what the chart or the guide is, Mark. You can remind me of what it is. But to me, in the third round, you should at least be able to find yourself a solid special teamer and like depth for whatever it is that you expect this guy to make the team, basically, is what I'm trying to say. So as far as Hopper goes, your thoughts here? I mean, Missouri, still good school, good level of competition. And then what also did the scouts say?
I was surprised. I didn't see that one coming. I thought they'd go a different. The third round surprised me both with the running back and the linebacker. I thought they were going to go defensive line somewhere, and they didn't at all, because we found out later that JJ isn't hurt as badly as we thought.
Yeah, yeah.
Which was good news. I didn't know, I'll be honest, I didn't know a lot about Hopper. I had to look it up. And then when I did, I said, okay, he kind of fits this new defensive scheme that they're playing. He's fast, he's athletic, and he also hits you. So the scout, again, the first quote is, he can run all day. They loved him at Missouri. Not sure how he'll do at the next level. At worst, he'll be good on special teams. And then on his fit with Green Bay, he gives them depth and he'll be good on special teams. But they probably took him a round or two early. So he I guess he didn't have a third. He had more of a fourth round grade on him. But to come back with that, my thing always is, if you like a guy, you take him.
Mm-hmm.
You don't wait. And again, especially when you're talking third, fourth round, because so now the third round is Friday night. The Packers are on the clock. Hopper's there. They obviously like him. Now, maybe they could have taken somebody else and tried to get him in the fourth round, but so you don't. So you pass on Hopper and you take, I don't know, an offensive lineman or a defensive, whatever else you were. Now you go to bed Friday night worrying that Hopper's not good. Because Packers picked low in the fourth round. Their fourth round pick is, you know, 25th overall again. So 24 teams are going to pick, unless they move up, 24 teams are going to pick before they get a chance to pick. And if one of those 24 take Hopper, Now you're kicking yourself that you didn't take him in the third, you know, when you had a chance in the third round. So I know what the scout was saying, you know, and that was just his opinion that, you know, he wouldn't have taken him into the fourth round. But like I said, if you like a guy, take him, because you don't know what's going to happen. Better to take him around too early than to wait and watch him go somewhere else.
Football season, no football season, it doesn't really matter. It's always Prize Picks season. And there's never been a better time to get started with Prize Picks than right now, with all the NHL and NBA playoff action, as well as the WNBA season getting ready to start next week. You guys have heard me talk about Prize Picks quite a bit, so let me just key you in on some of my favorite aspects that you may not know about. First of all, they have newly introduced star players that, if selected and part of your starting lineup, could result in a 10% payout boost. This has made the usual Amazing Prize Picks experience even that much more exciting. They also have injury insurance, so even if one of your players gets injured and they exit the game in the first half and don't return in the second, Prize Picks has your back and does not count that as a loss. And finally, I get this question all the time. Yes, Prize Picks is available in more than 30 states across the country, including California, Texas, Georgia, and most importantly, Wisconsin. My picks this week, I'm going with the ultra-hot Anthony Edwards and Jalen Brunson in the NBA and Connor McDavid for the Edmonton Oilers as they get set to take on the Vancouver Canucks. So here's what you need to do. Download the app today and use code PACKADAY for a first deposit match up to $100. That's the Prize Picks app using code PACKADAY for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
And if they liked him and he's got a skill set that they want and they envision him playing defense at all too, then you make the pick. You trust your board because there have been, you know, obviously the old adage. There's been plenty of players that were drafted in the sixth round that end up being, if you redraft that draft, would have been first rounders. So, you know, and vice versa. First round guys that, you know, would have been fifth rounders in another draft. So, yeah, I mean, this is a good depth piece here. He's going to get a chance to work in a little bit at linebacker. But if he's special teams, and then I think it was, if I'm not mistaken, I think it was Andy last week when he did his breakdown on all the draft picks, reminded everybody too, because of the new kickoff rules, that they're targeting a specific skill set because the kickoff coverage game has changed with the new rules and what teams are going to be facing as far as returns go. If you're looking at Hopper as a special teamer, they might see something in him that they think is really valuable in that spot.
That's a great point. Yeah. I mean, it is a different game now on kickoffs. I also think, you know, the quote that I like from the scout on Hopper was they loved them at Missouri. The Packers took a lot of guys this year who were team captains, locker room leaders.
Yep.
And we talked about this last week with some of the offensive players, and the same goes for a lot of these guys on defense. They were the team leader of that, you know, he was Missouri's leader. Some of these other guys that are coming up, they were their team. The Packers, they had a specific player and players in mind this year. I think speed, athleticism, but athleticism is always a Packer trait in the draft. Big hitters and team leaders. I think those were the boxes that they were looking to check off.
Yes.
They checked
Senior off. Bowl.
So, well, and always the guys that played well, the Senior Bowl too, yeah.
Yeah, that's the character thing. I mean, and there's there's gonna be some players who get that, and other players that don't get that. But I think Green Bay does a pretty good job of finding guys that are there to play football and have that business mindset, and they're not gonna blow up their career by making a dumb decision. I mean, anybody's susceptible to, you know, making a mistake every now and then, but they've got guys here who are leaders, and I think they keep trying to instill the new culture. Right. I mean, you spent all those years doing everything you could to try to get another championship when Aaron Rodgers was there. And Aaron in and of himself was his own style of leader when he was quarterback in the Green Bay Packers. And so that's it's, you know, Jordan Love comes in and now it's the whole new era of Packer football. And I think the camaraderie that you're seeing here on this team, it's important to take that stuff into consideration. I talk about it every single year, but you can't, the intangibles and stuff like that are really, really important. And I'm glad the Packers look into that and they're like, hey, we want somebody who's going to be dedicated to playing. Cause when you sign up, when you're a rookie, you're going to sign a 4-year deal, at least maybe five. If your option gets picked up as a first rounder, like, you know, you need your investment to pay off, especially in the third round. You want players that are going to come in and that are going to, you know, that are going to do good things. On that note, this is unrelated to the defense because, you know, the rookie minicamps and all that stuff. But how cool was that anecdote, Mark, about how when Jordan Morgan first saw Jordan Love and Love came over and dapped him up and he was like, oh, wow, that's Jordan Love. Now, what's cool about that is, and I saw a bunch of people on Twitter remark about this too. I'm not the first one to bring up this point, but is that I feel like a year ago, you're like, yeah, that's Jordan Love. He's a starting quarterback for the Packers. But because of how last year ended, and because I think of how everybody sees the Packers this year as back in the mix, and he was a little bit starstruck, that's a nice ascension for Jordan Love, who, by the way, is now eligible to get some years added to his contract, and he most certainly will.
And a lot of money.
Yeah, back up the truck. Yeah, back up the truck. Yeah, for sure. So that's awesome. So Hopper comes in. More to come on him. We'll have to wait until training camp starts and seeing him in action. I don't see him doing a ton on defense this year, but maybe, who knows? He could. And obviously, God forbid, injuries, you know, happen, and he has to play more.
Could hurt, miss a game or two here and there, and he'll be next man up.
Yeah, he definitely will. He definitely will. And the Packers moving into the fourth round, add another safety there. It's Evan Williams out of Oregon. Now, he's kind of one of the more intriguing, maybe one of the most intriguing guys in this draft because of the mixed reviews on him. And he's a fourth rounder, so I don't know how much they'll actually get from him on defense. But special teams, absolutely. Good character guy, played at a good school. Oregon, here the Packers are going back west. He has some versatility, but he's a fourth rounder for a reason. I don't know that, you know, again, I don't know that he's going to come in and surprise everybody and mistake anyone for Harrison Smith, for example. But, you know, this is another solid pick. The Packers going safety again. So on this one, did you have any, I don't know if you had any thoughts on Williams when the pick was made, but what are your scouts saying?
Well, yeah, I mean, at this point, I'm looking at not who they're taking, but what they're taking. I'm like, okay, another safety. We knew they needed more than one. I mean, they had McKinney and he was it. Going into the draft, I mean, Anthony Johnson, who we didn't know how much they liked him or if they didn't like. I obviously didn't like him that much because they took three safeties. So, you know, Ford was gone, Owens was gone, Savage was gone. They needed bodies. So here's another body. So I didn't mind that at all. I mean, I'm going to trust that Goody and his scouts that this guy is a good player and fits what they want. So the original quote was he's a box safety. He played both, but he wasn't very good playing free. The closer to the line, the better he plays. He'll hit you, and he's a sure tackler. Well, sure tacklers are good because the Packers didn't always have those at safety.
Right.
And then on his fit with Green Bay, kind of like what I just said, they needed safeties, so he should be able to get on the field. He'll help them on special teams too.
Yeah,
special teams guy.
Yeah, special teams very important, and then he's a guy that can fill in a little bit at safety, maybe a la what Johnson did last year, where he might be able to get on the field and do something for them on defense, depending on what it is that they ask him to do. But again, high character guy, and I expect them to have done their homework, and they've got a guy here who can pick up the defense, you know, very easily. You've got a whole new defensive scheme. So maybe you're picking this guy and saying, hey, I might not have brought this guy in Joe Barry's third year as running this defense, but this is the Halfley defense. Let's put this guy out there and see if we can unlock something in him that where we can get something more from him and get some depth there. The sure tackling thing, absolutely. There were plenty of times where I think last year, and I might just be misremembering, but it was, for me, it was almost like the effort. It was like, you know, sometimes the effort wasn't always there. Certain guys like did okay. Like I remember Devontae Wyatt made a couple tackles downfield, and you know, a defensive lineman making a tackle downfield means he's hustling, but the hustle, the effort, you know, and just the frustrating thing for me too was how many times there would be a short pass and there'd be a guy there. I mean, even Roswell Douglas before he got traded away, and he'd be there, but, you know, he'd arm tackle and the guy would get loose and he'd pick up not a huge play, but instead of tackling him for no gain, he gets 4 or 5 yards. That stuff matters. All that stuff matters. So Williams, to me, I think is going to be a fun one to watch. I guess I'll just be waiting to see how they line him up once they start actually practicing in training camp.
Yeah, I'm looking at, yeah, this is going to be a fun training camp, and interesting. Usually preseason games, my take on preseason games, right? Just don't get, if nobody gets hurt, it's a win.
Yep.
I don't care what the score is. If nobody gets hurt, it's a win.
Yeah.
Well, again, yeah. I don't care what the score is, but there are a lot of things I'm going to look forward to watching in this preseason. And that the play, offensive line, I told you last week, I'm really looking forward to seeing who's where and who's playing what and how they line up and who comes in. And there's a lot to look for on the offensive line. Well, the same is going to be the case in the secondary. I want to see where Bullard lines up. Is he going to play free? Is he going to play strong? Is he going to – are him and McKinney going to switch back and forth? Not that McKinney's going to play a lot in preseason probably, but is he going to be in the slot? And then same with Williams and this next guy that they took in the fifth round.
Yeah, now this one is something to keep an eye on. I think he'll be okay. This is Ketan Oladapo out of Oregon State, another West Coast guy. He's plays at Williams' arch rival. At Oregon State there, and he didn't participate in anything at rookie minicamp because he was still in a walking boot
from a broken toe.
Broken toe. So he'll recover. It's not like it's a long term injury or anything like that. And the Packers wouldn't have drafted him if it was going to be that too. But again, here we are in round five, another safety staying on the West Coast, and you know you're taking swings here. You're taking swings to try to give some depth to the position group that needed some good players. And again, the Packers, stay true to your board. I think them taking these guys before the sixth and seventh round, because to me, sixth and seventh round are almost like blindfold me and throw a dart. But the fifth round, through the fifth round to me is very much more calculated picks. And so I'm more inclined to believe that this is who they wanted. They made a good pick. Now, Oladapo was also somebody that quite a few people had talked about as a good mid-round pick for the Packers. So it's not the first time that the Packers were connected with him, and they do end up taking him. So, again, probably not somebody that you had watched a ton on as far as your take on it, but what were the scouts saying about Oladapo?
The first quote is, he's not bad. He's smart, and he's instinctive. He can cover, and he can hit. He's just not real fast, and he gets lost sometimes playing deep. And then on his fit with the Packers, he said, "This is I found this pretty interesting since he was taken around later." He says, "I actually like him better than Williams. He can develop into a good box safety."
Mm-hmm.
So there you have it. It's funny you mentioned that Williams and Oladapo were rivals in college. Well, they're going to be rivals, even though they're teammates. They're going to they might be battling each other for some playing time.
On the depth chart, yeah. And that happens at this space here, too. You're going to see third-rounders, fourth- and fifth-rounders and that supersede each other. I mean, Aaron Jones, was not the first running back taken. It was Jamal Williams.
Yes.
But Aaron Jones ended up superseding there, and that's fine. That doesn't mean Williams played well, too. They both are good pros, so that's great. If the Packers find a couple gems here at safety, that's a great problem to have. I mean, you keep trying to make that room better, and they're also going to push to Anthony Johnson. Right, because Johnson was a late round pick last year. It could be, it could be, and I hope that doesn't happen. Obviously, I don't want anyone to lose their job, but this is what, as fans, we want this team to do. I want you to keep churning it over and bringing in guys and making the group better and whatever is at the bottom of the depth chart. Make sure that it's solid and can step in and contribute. Again, on a complete side note, and I don't want a tangent here, Mark. If you want to add something, you can, but that also gives me a lot of confidence in the wide receiver room because the Packers didn't draft a wide receiver. They added a couple in undrafted free agency, but they didn't, including Walter Stanley's son, who was just added to the roster. You and I remember him. I don't know how many of our listeners remember Walter Stanley when he was in Green Bay. All I remember is that he was really good at doing backflips, and he was really fast. But the wide receiver room, obviously the Packers feel really good about it, even all the way down as far as Malik Heath, who struggled at times last year. And it's like, hey, we don't even need to draft anybody because we feel good enough about all six of these guys that are on the depth chart.
Don't forget Grant DuBose.
DuBose, right. Yeah, DuBose too.
Practice squad. He was a draft pick last year, but he got hurt in camp, which kind of set him back. I don't think he ever caught up. But they kept him on the practice squad all year. He's going to be in the mix. Yeah, they didn't feel they needed a wide receiver or tight end. They're happy with the three young tight ends.
Yeah, same thing.
Obviously, Kraft and Musgrave, but they like Ben Sims a lot too.
Yep.
This draft was focused on offensive line, safeties, and linebackers.
Someone's going to get a chance to at the safety position. Someone's going to get a chance to surprise us and step up and play more than we think. And I mean, obviously, it's going to be, I think, one of these two, Williams and Oladipo.
Right.
One of these two is going to end up playing a little bit this season. And so it'll be interesting to see which one it is. Again, another good box safety, which is what they said about Williams, too. So you're right. They're going to be competing because it sounds like they're both pretty similar in their skill set. And I will also just say, for fans that were like, oh, they need more covered safeties anymore in football coming into the out of college and in the NFL are just not. I mean, Ed Reed's and Nick Collins's don't grow out of the ground. They don't grow on trees. So,
well, I think Bullard is a good cover.
He is, but there, if you look at all the safety, and that's why you have to pick him in the second round. If you want that, you got to pick him early.
Right.
Otherwise, because if you have a good cover safety and they're really good, even if they're not blowing the numbers out at the combine and stuff like that, they're still going to get drafted high because there just aren't that many good cover safeties. There's a lot of good box safeties. You know, a lot of safeties are great when they're playing what's in front of them because it's a vision thing. It's not easy to be able to cover and erase part of the field and stuff like that. That's a skill set that you have to take early. It's kind of like the whole tackle thing. It's like if you want a really good offensive tackle, you got to draft one early. Otherwise, you're gambling. If you wait until later because they just don't have a ton that are ready to play right away and have the skill set to jump into the NFL game early on. So the Packers bolster the safety room, and then with their final pick in the draft, their final pick in the seventh round, they get Kalen King, the cornerback out of Penn State. A very intriguing story because in 2022, he had a phenomenal season, and had he come out and entered the draft at that point, would have been a very high draft pick, potentially the first corner off the board, returned to college to play last year and didn't have as good of a senior season. But the Packers in particular don't live and die by your most recent year in college. And you need only look at the starting quarterback to know that that's true. So they take a flyer on a corner here who, if he comes back and he's got a chip on his shoulder already for the things people are saying and that he had a down season, he wants to prove I am 2022. I am not last year. The Packers could end up getting an absolute gem here. And the cool and amazing thing about it is they just did this last year in the seventh round with a cornerback who ended up playing quite a bit and didn't do too badly in Carrington Valentine.
Oh, absolutely. That was my thought too. Yeah. They get another Carrington Valentine. Now my thought when they took it, now, again, I didn't watch the whole draft Saturday. I was in it. I was watching, seeing it on my phone and was doing some things. You know, every Packer pick popped up on my phone, but I wasn't watching who the Cardinals were taking and the Jaguars and the Colts and the, you know, whoever else. So when I see seventh round, Kalen King, cornerback, Penn State, my first reaction was he was still there. Like I just assumed that he had gone somewhere before the seventh round because of what you just said, that again, and I'm going to take a shot at these people that do mock drafts, but go back and look at it, like, you know, when they say a way too early mock draft, and when they do them, like, you know, before the season's over even.
Yeah.
Well, go back a year ago and look at some of those way too early mock drafts. You'll see Kalen King in the first round.
Mm-hmm.
He was being mocked as a first-round corner.
Right.
In the early 24 mock draft. So what that was my take was I was stunned that he was still out there. And I know he had a bad year, but I didn't think it was that bad that he would fall all the way to the seventh round.
Yeah.
So I think Goody probably thought the same thing. Like, wow, let's just take it. But if he's not any good, so you're wasting a seventh round pick. And it wouldn't be the first time.
Right.
And if he turns into anything close to Carrington Valentine or turns back into what he was, wow, it's a steal of the draft, right? So.
Yeah. And honestly, if it's a seventh rounder, Mark, and I'm sure you agree with this too, if a seventh rounder ever doesn't make the team, I'm not slamming Gutekunst for that. It's a seventh rounder.
If he makes a team, it's a good pick.
Yes, right.
If he just makes the team, it's
correct.
A good pick. If he actually plays, it's a very good team.
Very good.
So, yeah, so here's what the scout said. He said, had a real disappointing season after looking pretty good the year before. He probably should have gone back to school for another year. The ability is there. It just all went wrong for him last year. Then on his fit with Green Bay, he'll compete for a backup job. He has talent. He just needs to forget last season.
Okay. So
now I actually talked to, I didn't quote him in this story, but I talked to a good friend of mine who covers Penn. He's from up north. He used to work with me in Philly sometimes, but he now covers Penn State. So, and he's also a Packer fan. So I texted him and I said, hey, what's with this kid King from Penn State? I said, you know, seventh round, you know, what's going on? So he told me the same thing, basically the same thing, that, well, when Penn State played Ohio State, they had King cover Marvin Harrison, and Harrison just destroyed him. But Harrison destroyed a lot of people.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't like he was destroyed by some, you know, some average wide receiver from Iowa. No, it was Marvin Harrison. So, but apparently the kid never recovered from that. Whatever, I don't even look up what Harrison's numbers were, but I'm sure they were crazy. Kind of remember that game a little bit, and Harrison was incredible, but as he was most of the season. But apparently that kind of got in the kid's head a little bit. He never kind of recovered from that.
Yeah.
But he thinks, just like the scout said, if, you know, he has to just put that out of his mind, because, like, there he has ability. There's obviously he wouldn't have played as well as he did in 22 if there wasn't some talent there, right?
It's only a kick. A jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
No, for sure. And to your point, I think maybe that's why the scout said he just needs to forget last season, is because that moment or that game. And listen, I know you get up for it and you think about it and you're like, hey, this is a game I can make a name for myself. And we've all had big moments where we thought, hey, this is going to be great. And I'm going to nail it. And you have it, you know, played over and over and over again in your head. And it just doesn't go that way. And it's frustrating. But football and sports in general are all about, like, mental, you know, and forgetting your last bad moment and getting ready to make the next moment count. So, and in corners especially, it is as old as the, you know, as time. You have to have a short memory to be a good cornerback at any level.
Exactly. And that's what he has to work on. He obviously doesn't have a short memory, because he's still apparently in the, I don't know who they played after Ohio State, but he was still seeing, Marvin Harrison when it wasn't Marvin Harrison anymore. You know what I'm saying? So he has to get over that. If he doesn't, he's going to have a very short NFL career, because he's not going to make the team. But like I said, that when you get a guy with that kind of talent in the seventh round, it's a good pick, I think.
Yeah, no, yeah, it is. It is. And listen, that's the kind of stuff you're going to have in the seventh round, is you're going to have players that don't check all the boxes for that you want. But at this point, you're taking flyers and you're betting on some upside there. But for corners, the other thing too, though, is that look at Jair Alexander. I think Jair Alexander plays with a little bit of swagger, and he plays with a little bit of take it personal. And so it's okay. You want a little bit of that. Not too much. Not too much to where you're getting frustrated and you're grabbing hold and getting penalized, or even worse, doing stupid stuff after the play and getting flagged for it. Like we saw, you know, Quay Walker in his rookie season doing some of that extracurricular stuff too. You don't want that to translate over onto the field. And if you can find a way to use his skill set on special teams or something like that, again, just make the depth chart better. I mean, you had guys like Shamar Jean Charles and guys who, like, you didn't want on the field playing. And Kadar Holman was another one too. You know, you want to be able to, if you keep a player and you've got them on your roster, you want them to be able to step in a pinch and be okay. Now the Packers in a good position here too. They like Corey Ballantyne also. And he, for an undrafted free agent, he didn't do too badly either. He's not going to, you know, mistake anybody for an elite cornerback or insert really good cornerback name, but they've got a nice room going on here. They brought Keyshawn Nixon back, and Keyshawn's obviously a multifaceted player, defense and special teams, and also a great locker room presence as well. I think he may actually, you know, this might be a nice little project for Keyshawn to be like, hey, you know, in a sense, because he's not going to steal Keyshawn's job. You take him under your wing. I think that's something that Nixon does pretty well, is take guys under his wing. It seems like it's a decent culture in the cornerback room, and so hopefully they can squeeze a little more juice out of the orange with King here.
Well, two drafts ago, the Packers took a flyer on a a Penn State kid in the seventh round who was supposed to go higher.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Rashid Walker. Mm-hmm. He ended up being their starting left tackle last year. So,
and did pretty well.
You never know.
And he did pretty well. So, yeah, we'll see how this whole thing starts to shape up on the defense and when training camp kicks off. I mean, gosh, I was just talking about how it's crazy to me that we're already into May, which means that we're only just over 2 months away from training camp starting, which is great. I think about, and it's like, it's frustrating because football has one of the longest, if not the longest, off season. You have to wait so much longer for your favorite sport to start up again. It's like, I almost feel like, should I become more of a baseball fan? Because I feel like the World Series ends, and then 2 minutes later, spring training is starting. And I also live in an area where there's spring training. I live in Phoenix. Right. So there's games out here all the time. It was great to be able to go catch a couple. And you're like, oh, pitchers and catchers are reporting. So you don't have to wait that long to get the bad taste out of your mouth and move on to the next season. But I digress. So good rundown on the defense here. We'll have to see what happens. And then now we're kind of into the period of the off season where there's a little bit of a dead spot until they start doing mini camps and all that stuff. But today, Mark, tonight coming out. Well, the NFL schedule comes out today. However, we all know by the time that the schedule actually gets announced officially on TV and the event goes down itself, all the games are pretty well known. They start leaking early in the day. We already know the first game,
right?
Which will be Friday night of opening week. The Packers will play the Philadelphia Eagles in Sao Paulo, Brazil. I saw something on there. I think Dara Carriger said that there is a ban on green and both green and yellow in that stadium.
That's for soccer. I don't know if it's for football.
So are we going to see alternate jerseys or what?
Well, both teams wear green, so they shouldn't have put the Eagles and Packers in. If that was the case, they should have put the Giants and the Vikings. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Solve the issue.
I mean, you invite the green and gold Packers and the green and silver Eagles, and you tell them they can't wear green.
Right.
Well, I don't know what they're going to wear.
Yeah.
I guess one will wear, the Eagles could go to their black, and the Packers can go to white. I don't know. If that's still the case, if that's really the... I don't know
aesthetically, you know, the all black jerseys with the all white, like how that would look in a game. But I guess, sure, we'll see.
Worn all black. Eagles have their all black uniform that they wear once a year.
Yeah,
I don't know. Just wear your, you know, just wear your. But the Eagles are the home team, so they'll wear. They generally wear green at home. So.
Per se.
Right.
Per se, man, the Packers, I'm telling you right now, I know all the travel and the logistics and stuff like that, but man, if there's a road game that you can erase off your schedule and make it a more of a neutral slash potentially even a home game, I would have to say avoiding a trip to the Link is a pretty big win for the Packers before they even kick off.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of negative about having to travel and all that, but doing it the first week I think is better than doing it in the middle of the year. And yeah, if you're not the home team, so you're losing a road game at a tough place against a good opponent to play at a neutral site, yeah, that's not a bad thing.
You covered a lot of games at Lincoln Financial Field. You saw a lot of visiting teams come in that were probably pretty good on paper that walked away with their tail between their legs after getting smoked by the Eagles.
Well, let me say this. The Link isn't the vet.
Right.
The home field that the Eagles had at Veterans Stadium was much more of a home field advantage. And Link's still not bad, but the vet, because that field was so bad. And I remember players would say, like, we know where the bad spots are. They don't.
Mm-hmm.
And stuff like that. And the vet was just raucous. I mean, they had a jail on the lower concourse for fans. Like, fans got arrested and put into a jail. That's all crazy. The Link has become, like a lot of new stadiums, newer stadiums, it's become a little more corporate than, you know, crazy, you know, blue-collar fans. So, but it's still, you know, Eagles are, let's be honest, Eagles are one of the better teams. They had a terrible ending to their season last year, but they were still a playoff team. They're still one of the better teams in the NFC. So if you don't have to play them at home and you're playing them at a neutral site, I think it's a good thing for them.
Yeah.
If this was a Packer home game, I'd be more upset that the Packers had to give up a home game against the Eagles to go to Brazil and play. So looking at it from that point of view, I'm kind of, it's not a bad thing for the Packers.
Well, they already did. They gave up one to go play the Giants a couple years ago, and that also didn't work out well. Packers didn't win the game, and that was also the game that Aaron broke his thumb. So,
and it put him in a tailspin because, in my opinion, because they didn't take a bye week after.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Well, we'll see how the games shake out. And then I'll be very, very soon after that picking the one that I'm going to be going to, because I always go to a home game every year, and I ain't skipping this year, so it's going to happen. So I look forward to that. Some really good matchups here. We were talking about it beforehand. You got the divisional opponents, the Texans and C.J. Stroud are coming into town. The Miami Dolphins will be there, who had a really good season last year. The San Francisco 49ers come into town. We all know about the rivalry between the Packers and Niners. The Colts are coming. The Saints are coming back again to Lambeau. We all remember that game last year that the Saints lost to the Packers, but, you know, 17-0, and all of a sudden in the fourth quarter, just a 18-point barrage unanswered to win that game. So there's some good ones.
Oh, yeah, no, that home schedule, you read it to me prior to us, you know, starting the show. That's a good – like you said, the Vikings, Bears, Lions, as always, and then – yeah, you got the team that went to NFC champions, 49ers. Hate saying that, but that's what they are. A playoff team in the Eagles. That's not a home game, but they're playing them. Houston, last year's surprise team, the AFC South champions, coming in. The Colts, who just missed the playoffs. Miami, a wild card team. So, yeah, that's an attractive home schedule.
Yeah.
Whatever game you go to, it'll be a good one.
And the first year, the Packers will actually get the ninth home game at Lambeau Field, which is nice.
Let's both pick. So they're opening on the road in Brazil, not a neutral site, but still on the road. So chances are they're going to be home week two. I think that's almost a guarantee.
Yep.
Team overseas, you know, to South America, you got to give them a home game. So of those games that we just mentioned, who's going to be the home opener?
Well, if your theory holds true that they give the Packers a Sunday night or Monday night game, mm-hmm. in the following week, if it's a divisional opponent, to me, it's got to be the Bears because of Caleb Williams. Mm-hmm. So I would say Bears, definitely not the Vikings. I could see the Lions potentially.
Yeah, I was going to say Lions,
but I think it could end up being the Bears. Although the Packers played the Bears in Chicago week one last year. So maybe they move those games a little further back there. But if it's a primetime game and it's home, then you want a good opponent. So it doesn't get any better than the top three to me are what we talked about, the Texans, the Dolphins, and the Niners. So it should be one of those. I think it should be one of those three, unless the NFL is just really cruel and they hold off and you know, make the Dolphins come to Lambeau in December. Last time the Dolphins came, it was later in the season too, if I remember correctly. I think it was in like late October, early November.
That's what I want. Make those warm weather teams come up there when it's
cold,
you know, snowing and stuff.
Yeah.
It could be the Lions though, because it'll be a – hey, listen, I think if you take the Niners and the whole Super Bowl loser, you know, that doesn't do as well the following year, which is not – that's not just a rumor. Look it up. It happens. I mean, look at the Eagles. The Eagles were a Super Bowl loser, and they barely made the playoffs, and they got blown out in the first round.
Mm-hmm.
That's a real thing. So if that holds up, I think the Lions and Packers could be in the NFC title game.
It's very, very possible. I mean, it
almost were last year.
Should have happened. I was going to say it should have happened a couple months ago. It just didn't work out that way. So we'll be back at it again next week with another topic for the Packers offseason. If there's any news or anything that hits, we'll talk about that. If anybody ever has any questions or topics, of course, feel free to reach out to either Mark or I. We always appreciate everybody's nice. We got some really nice feedback this past week on our show. I always appreciate everybody and all of our friends overseas, too. I hope everybody's doing well over there and getting geared up for another Packers season. And hopefully they're looking forward to some games coming over. I had I was fortunate enough to meet and tour a really nice travel advisor from Germany. And he did some work with the NFL when the Patriots were in Germany in the last season. I think they ended up having to play in Germany. I don't know if they were originally supposed to play somewhere else. They had to move the game. But he had some good stories and experiences about the NFL, and he's kind of become more of an NFL fan because of it out in Germany. So the NFL is doing a good job with expanding their base. Hmm. It's kind of cool.
Now they're going out. Listen, say what you want about Roger Goodell. He knows how to make money, and he knows how to get the NFL out. I mean, they're big in Europe. I mean, now South America, you think this is going to be the last game played in South America?
No, no.
Not at all.
So, no.
Yeah,
I mean, pretty soon, don't be surprised if there's an NFL game that gets played in the Middle East. I mean, it's going to keep expanding.
Somewhere. Oh, yeah, Asia, somewhere in Asia. Yeah, it's going to, yeah, it's, I'm waiting for the day where there's actually a team somewhere.
Oof.
You know, that could happen next.
It sounds pie in the sky, but you're probably right. And then it'll become very common. And 20 years from now, we'll be talking about how just very commonplace it is. Like, oh yeah, that team's based there, and they play, you know, 6 or 7 games at home. So,
yep. I mean, listen, if there's a way to make money, they'll figure out how to do it.
The NFL will unlock it. They print it in essence. So
yes, they do.
All right. Well, thanks everyone for riding along with the Thursday edition of the Pack a Day podcast. Mark and I will be back at it again next week. Thanks again, everybody. Hope everyone is doing well and safe and sound and taking care of themselves wherever they're at. And as always, go Pack, go.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, the trusted choice recommended by leading experts, with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.